Hi, I'm author and filmmaker David Leaf. You're listening to Modern Musicology. Pay attention, put down your devices and just listen.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to Modern Musicology. My name is Alan, and I got some friends with me. We got Rob Levy.
What's up?
Stephanie Seymour.
Hello, people.
And look who's joining us again this
yes.
week. A-Dubs, aka Howdy. Anthony Williams.
Yay.
It's me. I'm back.
He's back.
We're very glad to have you. We missed you last week, buddy.
I missed you guys, too.
Aw. Like a love fest.
All right, so we've got a big topic this week. On January 1st, Rolling Stone published a list of the 200 best singers of all time. And, buddy, did it cause a stir.
Buddy.
You're right. So we're gonna talk about that list because our like group chat has been like aflame with all kinds of different things. So I want to get us started simply by reading from the Rolling Stone from the intro to the article, just to set the stage, just to sort of give their perspective on how they picked what they picked and what their process was. So here we go. This is from Rolling Stone. When Rolling Stone first published its list of the 100 greatest singers in 2008, we used an elaborate voting process that included input from well-known musicians. The results skewed toward classic rock and singers from the 60s and 70s. This new list was compiled by our staff and key contributors, and it encompasses 100 years of pop music as an ongoing global conversation where iconic Indian playback singer Lata Mangeshkar lands between Amy Winehouse and Johnny Cash, and salsa queen Celia Cruz is up there in the rankings with Prince and Marvin Gaye. You might notice that, say, there isn't any opera on our list. That's because our purview is pop music, meaning that almost all artists on this list had significant careers as crossover stars making popular music for the masses. Keep in mind that this is the greatest singers list, not the greatest voices list. Talent is impressive. Genius is transcendent. Sure, many of the people here were born with massive pipes, perfect pitch, and boundless range. Others have rougher, stranger, or more delicate instruments. As our write-up for the man who ended up at number 112 notes, quote, Ozzy Osbourne doesn't have what most people would call a good voice, but boy, does he have a great one, end quote. That could apply to more than a few people here. In all cases, what mattered most to us is originality, influence, the depth of an artist's catalog, and the breadth of their musical legacy. A voice can be gorgeous like Mariah Carey's, rugged like Toots Hibbert's, understated like Willie Nelson's, slippery and sumptuous like D'Angelo's, or bracing like Bob Dylan's. But in the end, the singers behind it are here for one reason. They can remake the world just by opening their mouths. So there you go. Rolling Stone published this list on January 1st, and the online conversation has been fierce and fiery, and it pretty much got kicked off by all the Celine Dion fans up in arms that their girl was not on the list. So we're going to talk about the list itself, placement of people on the list, who didn't make the list, who should have been on the list, and we're going to go from there.
I want to say, like, we know we clicked the clickbait. We do know that, but yeah. we just could not resist. And, you know, It sort of enraged me to see, not that I don't agree with a lot of people on this list, because I totally do. But this list is so super subjective and there's so much criteria that it's almost like invalid because it's too broad. But having said that, I think there's a good, I have a top 10 list of people that there's, I cannot understand how they could have been left off this list. And I'm just going to list them right now. And Celine Dion is on there because I can't even imagine how nobody could have put her on there. And I don't even like her, but she's incredible. Mm-hmm. Pat Benatar. Hello. She was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She's got a 5-octave range. Come on. Ann Wilson. What? Annie Lennox, again, just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Daryl Hall is not on this list. That's insane. Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, at least Garfunkel should be on this list. Go listen to A Bridge Over Troubled Water and tell me he should not be on here. Christine McVie. I love her. I feel like she has an incredible voice. Jennifer Hudson, not on this list. And my two other people are Wynonna Judd, who, you know, like, I love Carrie Underwood, and I think she's got an amazing voice, but without Wynonna, like Wynonna was, if there was, how can I say this? You'll have to edit
this. If there wasn't a Wynonna, there would never be a Carrie.
And then also James Taylor rounds out my top 10.
Interesting.
I have lots of others that are runners up, but I'll let someone else talk.
Steph, I think you hit on a point though. This is almost too broad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I think looking at the top 200 singers as per Rolling Stone, just to pick out one particular spot, you've got Ozzy Osbourne sandwiched in between Fiona Apple and La India.
Right.
This is not apples to apples.
No. And that's what I'm saying.
In any way, shape or form.
Exactly. It's like there's just a whole mixture of stuff. And it's so subjective. What makes a great voice to one person might not be to another. And using all this criteria, it's too much. So in a way, like, that's why I say we clicked the clickbait. We know we did, but here's our opinions kind of thing.
Alan, the other thing I noticed was you talking, reading that intro and them talking about how last time it skewed, in their opinion, too heavily towards classic rock.
Right.
Looking at the list now, I almost feel that they've swung the pendulum too far in the other direction and are overcompensating. Yep. You look at the
totally
top
are.
10 and they're all Motown, soul, R&B, right? It's almost like they're saying we made a mistake last time, so we're just going to overcompensate.
Exactly.
And if you want to be objective on a list like this, you can't do that.
You're so right. I was thinking the same thing. It's almost like they felt like they had to put people on here that, you know, they have great voices, but they don't maybe need to be on this list.
And, you know, candidly, of the top 10, maybe 3 of them are better than or equal to Freddie Mercury, but otherwise, fuck off.
Okay, well.
Here comes Anthony, everyone.
You're coming out swinging.
I don't know. For me, Freddie's just the greatest vocalist of all time. He's the full package. He's a phenomenal performer, phenomenal voice. Huge, huge range. I just don't think there's anyone better in history, candidly. And the fact that he's 14th doesn't quite sit right for me.
Also, to your point, though, the order of this, too, is also crap because I don't know how they threw that together. How is Marvin Gaye above Nina Simone, above, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, how are Kurt Cobain, Ozzy Osbourne, and Glenn Danzig even on this list, let alone a 36th, 112th, and 199th?
Mm-hmm.
I love, don't get me wrong, I love two of those three. Kurt, I was never a Nirvana fan.
Right.
But, I mean, candidly, I don't think any of them deserve a place on this list. They wouldn't make it onto my 200 favorite singers.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that, you know, yes, Roger Daltrey has a great rock and roll voice, but if you're it's vocals or whatever. Like, you might, why isn't Elvis Costello on there then? Because he's got an amazing voice. It's just that it's not as very usual kind of typical voice, you know.
Susie Sue, Stephanie.
Why is Susie Sue not on there, but Robert Smith is? I mean, give me a fucking break. Sorry.
Well, I think it's interesting that they specify that it's not just that you're a great singer. It's that you have the breadth of career and depth of legacy and all this kind of stuff. And then at number 198 is Billie Eilish, who has been around for 5 minutes. And, you know,
and mumbled her way through her first album.
Right. Both of them, I think. Yeah.
Which, fine. Great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Neil Finn's not on there, but she is.
So, and I don't have anything against Billie Eilish. I'm not a huge fan, but I do like her. I think she's a great performer. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that she has had the opportunity to have the kind of career yet. I mean, she has had a big impact. That is undeniable. But I don't think she's been around long enough to have the kind of career that they are basing their list on.
And
you know?
To that point, Ariana Grande at 43. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Why is Courtney Love on there? Why? Mark Anthony. I mean, hey, the one that really pissed me off, though, I'm sorry, was Morrissey.
How can he be a great singer when he won't even show up for a concert
or sing more than three notes in his whole life? I don't know.
Well, that's true.
The question is not why is Morrissey on there. The question is why is Morrissey?
It's right. Yeah, that is true.
Since Stephanie did it, I do want to very briefly run down my most notable omissions. And
please do.
I mean, I'm literally wearing an Iron Maiden T-shirt right now, so I'll start off with the obvious one. How is Bruce Dickinson not on there when Ozzy Osbourne and Glenn Danzig are?
Right.
In my opinion, I mean, Ozzy probably more influential being the original Black Sabbath singer, but he's not a good singer objectively. Mm. Danzig, I don't think his career has had the success of Bruce Dickinson's. I don't think his voice has the range of Bruce, even if, you know, he is the Elvis of our time. But
self-styled Elvis of our time.
Yeah, exactly. that was laden with sarcasm.
Yeah, oh, I know.
I think it's a crying shame that Bruce isn't on there. I'm very disappointed at the lack of Peter Gabriel.
Hmm.
And maybe I missed it, but I didn't notice Sting on there.
Mm, true.
He's definitely not on there, and he was on my list too as an honorable mention.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by the omission of both of those, particularly given how influential they've been, the careers they've had, and frankly, how good their voices are. And there's one more, but it escapes me right now. I'll think of it later. I'll interrupt Rob when Rob
Steve
starts
Wilson?
Talking with it. I much as I love Stephen Wilson, I do not think objectively he's a phenomenal singer.
Right.
He has no place. 200 best producers, he could be on that.
Yeah.
200 absolutely. Best modern composers, he could be on that. Singers, true. No chance.
All right, Rob, jump in.
No, that's it.
And that's Rob's contribution for the episode.
He's so pissed off.
Deep sigh.
One big sigh.
I set aside numbering the list for the sake of making this easier, right? One, this list either needed to be two lists. It either needed to be a rock critic list of 200 singers or an artist list, which would have made a better article because you could have compared and contrast.
Yeah.
Not an idiot's guide of throwing darts at the wall and see what singer shows up. First point, right? Second, if you're going by merit and legacy, you have several people on this list that have been around that had like a run of 5 years to 7 years that sold maybe 200 million units of records. But then you've left off people that have sold, you know, number one selling artists for like seven decades,
totally.
Right? You've left off hip hop. There's a huge gap in hip hop. So there's a couple I'll jump in on.
Hang on, Rob. One thing I do want to address that. Alan did mention earlier that the intro did say singers. So I would think that precludes a lot of hip hop, to be fair.
Yes, but I think... But I think, too, if you're talking about singers and you're putting Celia Cruz in and you're going on a very far, not that she doesn't deserve, but you're going that far out to the left, then you could put Chuck D on the list, right? Because Chuck D has a powerful and prolific voice for hip hop, right? And if you say to yourself, who is the voice of hip hop when you think of that? Chuck D is one of the first two or three people that'll come to mind. And then there's the legacy of everything that he did as a musician, which they say is important for this, whatever this thing is.
I would argue that the first person you mentioned, who's, did you say Celia?
Cruz.
Oh, I think she'd be on it. I have no problem with her being on it. But it's just kind of, if you're using pop music, they're saying pop success, legacy, and whatever. Then, you know, I've heard of Celia Cruz, and I think she's fantastic, right? But that opens up and closes it to a lot of people at the same time.
I think you and I will have to agree to disagree on this. and that's fine.
So you don't you don't want Celia Cruz on the list then?
I don't know Celia Cruz, but I mean I think if they are saying singers, I think someone like Chuck D would have no business being on this.
Okay.
But if they did a, you know, best rappers, best vocalists, if they said vocalists, but not singers.
By all means. Louis Armstrong's on it and he sang on 15 records.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're going to put Louis Armstrong on it, then that would open this up for you to put Chuck D on it.
I would disagree. Chuck D is a vocalist, not a singer. There's a fine line there.
But there's all these people on this list that are in that same boat.
Are there?
Mm-hmm.
Who else are
vocalists and not singers? Leonard Cohen's more of a vocalist than a singer.
But he still sings.
Yeah. But, okay, then you want to close this off to hip-hop completely then?
Well, they closed it off to opera.
They closed off to opera. They said popular music. Where they put themselves in trouble is they said popular music.
So, I would still not ever classify Chuck D as a singer.
My point wasn't necessarily Chuck D. It was just an example that they didn't do anything with hip-hop on here. That was my point, is that they didn't put anything with hip-hop on here. And if they needed to qualify if they weren't putting hip-hop on there, why? Or else they've left it open. And I understand that there is not a broad range of people in hip hop that are singers that have done it long enough, but in 50 years of hip hop, there have been vocalists that could at least come to mind somewhere. Right. And the nature of hip hop is kind of changing where it's getting more vocal too now rather than where it was, but okay. Outside of Chuck D, you forgot Nick Cave.
Yeah.
You forgot Frankie Valli. You forgot Edith Piaf, who not only was the number one singer of Europe for 6 decades, but also sang an entire country through a fight against fascism. You forgot Lead Belly. You forgot Bing Crosby, who has a 7-decade career, invented microphone usage, label representation, put music on a radio, and also invented the analog audio tape, and also invented the idea of artists getting percentages of royalties, in addition to selling over 700 million records since 1929. And then you've also, you know, you could argue for Judy Garland. You could argue for Ricky Nelson. There's a whole bunch of people in the 80s that aren't really on here. I know we talked a little bit about this.
Yeah.
Particularly female artists from the 80s who are not on here.
And 90s. And I have a whole list.
I think it's 90s heavy. That's my big issue with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I would argue that, you know, yes, I don't think necessarily Morrissey or Robert Smith need to be on the list at all. I think Susie is a much more interesting choice for that. But at the same time, you know, you could seriously argue in terms of like importance of things that there are people like Damon Albarn and the Gallaghers and other folks who are way more deserving than some of the pop people that are on this list from the 90s and the Britpop, right? I didn't memorize the entire list because it's just so amazing.
It's hard to, I know, you keep going which back and you find
of,
new people.
Which is
yeah.
kind of why I threw out the order, because I think the order.
Yeah.
One, I commend them for trying to rank this, right? I would probably not even attempt to do, and I think 200 is too big of a number. I think it has to be down to 100, maybe. If you make this 100, it opens it up for less fighting.
Does it though? Because at 200, we're still bitching about the crowd of people that didn't make the list. At 100, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah, we had talked a little bit about, you know, opera before and things, you know, like they didn't put Pavarotti on it. I get that now, right?
Yeah.
But you need. I think it's too broad. I think the biggest issue with it is it's too broad. It's not clarified, and then. There's a lot of people that aren't really on here that I don't think people really thought this through and how they
exactly.
And that's part of my
and I wonder who they serve. It's I want to know like the age range of the people who their contributors are, because I feel like a lot of people might have been in their 30s and 20s, and then there's a lot of people that might have been in their like 60s.
Well, like
there's a whole range it seems like there's missing. I don't
know. There wouldn't be a Courtney Love if there wasn't an Ann Wilson, right? You know, so stuff like that's really kind of pisses me off. But at the same time, it's almost like if this was made by musicians, then there's a lot of musicians that don't understand the cultural history of American music or world music. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah, there was definitely, to me, not as, I felt like there's a lot of reggae artists that that could have been on the list, but yeah. What yeah. I actually made my, you noted that there, you thought that it was 90s heavy. And when I read the list, I didn't really get that. And then when I made my runner up list, I noticed that a lot of them are from the 90s. And I'll just run them down. I'm not mm-hmm. all of them, but some, and they're all women, believe it or not. My runner up top 10 is Sheryl Crow, Carole King, Carly Simon, Jewel, Alanis Morissette, Maria McKee, Sinead mm-hmm. O'Connor, Cyndi Lauper, and Phoebe Snow. And I guess, you know, there's maybe half.
Oh, I forgot about Phoebe Snow. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
You or know, Harry Nilsson. Mm-hmm. Harry Nilsson's not on there either. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just, I didn't really, I felt like the biggest decade that wasn't really represented maybe was the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But again, you're right. I think to your point, Rob, before when we were just offline talking, there wasn't, unless I'm just spacing out, there wasn't as many like wonderful, fabulous vocalists from the 80s that I that came to my mind.
And now you say that, I remembered the one I forgot.
Ah.
Jeff Tate.
I was going to say Jeff Tate. When you were talking about Bruce Dickinson, I was going to say Jeff Tate.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're talking about an operatic styled rock singer, I think Tate may have a better voice than Bruce Dickinson.
I think Tate has one of the best, or had, I don't know what it's like these days, one of the best voices in all of metal.
Right.
If you look at the charity record that Dio put out, Stars, right, yes. from the 80s, Hearing Aid, Jeff Tate comes in, and on his one line, mm-hmm. he absolutely owns everyone else on that. It's ridiculous.
That is so true.
The rest of the record is questionable, but it's worth a listen for novelty value. But that's just a good example when you have him literally singing on the same record as Ronnie James Dio and Rob Halford, who both made the list. He outshines both of them.
Right.
And it's really hard to outshine either of them.
Right. So since you brought that up, and since you brought up metal, and since you brought up the people that I want to mention, yes, I know that we're talking about influence and breadth of all that stuff that they mentioned in the intro, but I still have I take umbrance with Ronnie James Dio being at number 165, way, way, way under Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's almost like they do stuff like that just to get a rise out of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? Like they leave off Celine Dion just to get a rise up, you know? And I remember this has no bearing on my, you know, keeping him on the list or where to put him. But I remember I had a Hit Parader magazine that had a full page Ronnie James Dio poster kind of thing with a pull quote on it. And the quote was, and I used to know this precisely. Now it's a very close paraphrase, but the quote was basically, that anyone can compare me to Ozzy vocally, they'd have to be either completely deaf or totally stupid. And I mean, I can understand that maybe Ozzy sold more records, that maybe Ozzy is a bigger name because, you know, people know the name Ozzy, they know the reality TV show or whatever. But it just blows my mind that he would get ranked so far over Ronnie James Dio.
And it's almost an unfortunate thing of history that those two are always going to be compared to each other, even though they really shouldn't. I mean, the fact that Dio succeeded Ozzy in Sabbath literally means that they are always going to get compared, and they shouldn't be, because they are not comparable. And Dio is by far the superior singer.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about influence? He was in three successful bands.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Rainbow, Sabbath, Dio, Sabbath again, Dio again. Right?
Yes.
Ozzy had a solo career in Sabbath. And even then, he's still not a good vocalist.
You know, another like underrepresented genre, and I know it's because it's not taken seriously, is like hair metal, kind of glam metal bands and stuff.
Good point.
But I mean, if you listen to Sebastian Bach, that guy, you know, he was on Broadway. I mean, he's got an incredible voice. Mm-hmm. A lot of those bands had really great front singers. But they were sort of poo-pooed off, you know, like they're just a joke, right? Because they're, you know, giant hair and spandex pants, you know, but you know.
And to your point, Steph, the only one I see who's vaguely associated with that genre is Axl. Right.
Yeah.
He's on there. And I wouldn't even describe him as the strongest vocalist. I would say Sebastian Bach has a better claim. I would say Kevin DeBrow has a greater claim to that.
Yeah. Hmm. He's got a good one. He definitely does. Yeah. But I mean, even I'm not that he should be on this list, but I mean, like Kip Winger has a good voice. There's a lot of people like that kind of, you know, you don't even think about, but they were, you know, Vince Neil has an interesting and weird great voice, and they went on for decades, you know. So
yeah,
I don't think he should be on that list. I'm just saying that if their criteria again is longevity and blah blah blah, whatever. I don't know. They're missing people. David Coverdale.
Yeah.
And if we're going with purple singers, where's Ian Gillan? Why is he not on that?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Too much classic rock, right?
I can just hear Eddie Trunk going on a rant about how rock has been completely disenfranchised and completely ignored from this list, and no one cares about true rock and roll anymore, and you know, you know how he does.
Mm-hmm. Is he wrong though?
I don't think he is necessarily. I get tired of hearing his same rants over and over.
I was happy. I'll tell you who I was happy that they included though. Definitely Elton John, because there was some highlights for me seeing on this list was Elton John, Amy Winehouse, which at first I thought I didn't see her name and I was like, you're kidding me, but I am nearly melted down, but she's on here. And Emmylou Harris, that was and of course Linda Ronstadt, but
yeah, let's talk about Ms. Linda, because I have said on this show before that I think Linda is one of the greatest vocalists of all time. She has a rare ability that she can sing multiple styles of music like she was born to sing that style of music. She has done country and rock and new wave and jazz and Broadway, and she is amazing at every one of those things. And she's at what, 47?
47.
She did an album in Spanish.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That just seems so low for me.
Yeah, for me, should be like number one or two. For real, I'm not just saying that. I think she should have been top because there's nobody that can interpret a song like her.
Right.
And yet, who's above her? Ariana Grande.
Yep.
Give me a fucking break.
No, she has a great voice.
But Ariana. Oh yeah, she does. Yeah. Yes.
I don't think she's got the longevity. I don't think she belongs on this list yet.
I agree with you.
Another 10 years.
That's exactly what I was going to say. She doesn't have the kind of presence that is what this list is supposed to be about.
Got to put in your time.
And at the same time, you're putting her on the list. You're not putting Dionne Warwick on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I was also thinking of people like, is he on here though? Is Lionel Richie on here?
No.
Because he, you know.
No, Billy Joel, no Lionel Richie. Yeah, no Billy Joel, no Lionel Richie.
Thinking of like the whole Commodores and that kind of era and who they were missing from that.
Well, a lot of the 70s like soul groups aren't really represented. I mean, you could argue Levi Stubbs should be on here, but it is what it is. Or, you know, pick a vocalist from the Temptations, you know.
Well, that's why I was saying sort of like also in a more of a rock and roll genre, but Fleetwood Mac, you know. Why isn't Lindsey Buckingham on this list? There's no reason he shouldn't be.
Because he's an asshole.
Well,
I bet there's a bunch of assholes on this
list. I'm sure there are other people that are assholes that are on this list.
Kirk Herbling.
If I can just hit on the artists who haven't done their time, I think my personal opinion is the minimum career tenure on this should be 20 years.
Yeah.
So that takes out Buddy Holly.
But Buddy Holly has, his career was shorter than that, but he was more than 20 years ago.
Okay. Right?
So there's been time for his legacy.
Okay. No, I was trying to understand.
But like, as I mentioned,
that does put this in a whole more solid foundation, because when I think of artists like Selena or who don't have the body of work, putting mm-hmm. it in that kind of a, that does clear up a lot. That's an interesting point.
It takes out some artists that candidly I really like, but I don't think they have a place on this yet. I don't think Lady Gaga deserves to be on this just yet. I think she's a phenomenal singer. Does she deserve a place amongst the 200 greatest? No, not yet.
And so Adele, that would mean Adele.
You would take Adele out, who I think she's got a great set of pipes, but I don't think she's been around long enough. It would take out Rihanna. Same deal.
Yes.
Right? She's close. She's actually probably only a year off that 20-year mark, but would take her out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Ponda Replay came out around 2004.
I can't remember time.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was mid 2000s.
It'd take off Taylor Swift. It would take off The Weeknd, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but let's get to the one that I really think is way too new, and that is SZA.
I was going to say it.
Is that how it's pronounced?
I thought it was SZA. I don't know.
I assumed it was SZA.
No, SZA.
I'm younger than you guys. How am I the one who has no idea how this is pronounced?
Right.
Also, you know, I don't know. And sort of a flip to this. I love him and you know I love them, but why is Bono on this list? They've got the longevity, whatever, but like, I don't know. I love, and they're my like number two favorite band, but I don't think I'd put him on this list.
Right.
Would you say that too about Michael Stipe?
Yeah, no, I would say the same thing. I would. And I would say, you know,
or even as much, Paul Westerberg.
Yeah, Paul. Exactly. Paul, that was my next person. And, you know, as much as they were a groundbreaking band, I wouldn't have polystyrene on here.
I was going to say that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd have Xene on there though.
Mm.
Yeah, she was on my list of people too.
Yeah.
Oh, Jack White.
Mm. Ooh.
He should be on that.
Hmm.
I mean,
that's controversial, I can tell. I guess so.
But somebody called IU is on there.
Who even is that?
I'm not really sure. I don't know that music, I should say. I don't know. I've never heard of them. But there's a lot of people on here that I'm not familiar with. So I can't say, I disagree with that. But you know.
I mean, I love the fact they put Bessie Smith on there.
Hmm.
But by putting Bessie Smith on there, then you're opening the argument to, okay, there's a whole generation of people who aren't on here that are her contemporaries. This is the problem I have with the fundamental part of the list. It's just like, come on.
IU is the token K-pop entry, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a K-pop singer. She's younger than 30.
Okay.
Okay. Hmm.
So, you know, the fact that they've picked such a young Korean artist tells me that it's a token entry. Maybe I'm being unfair.
Interesting.
No, I feel like there are token entries on here. I definitely do. And I just noticed, just apropos of nothing, speaking about order again, I just noticed that Courtney Love was directly above Jeff Buckley. Come on now. Courtney Love is better than Jeff Buckley. Yeah, sure. Sigh.
She's also under Rob Halford, which is the only time in history she will ever be under Rob Halford because, you know.
I don't necessarily think Steve Perry should be on the list, but that's just me.
See, I disagree. Okay, well, I'll have to disagree. We'll have to kindly disagree on that. I think he's got an amazing voice.
He does, but I don't think he's got the... How long was he in Journey? Versus some of these
quite a while.
10 years.
He was in there for a long time. Okay. Man, he had a lot of huge hits with them. So
I just think there's other people that would be higher up.
Mm. We're going with 80s. Where's Jon Bon Jovi?
I was going to say that, but I wasn't sure. Yeah. Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Let's talk about some Beatles. I would not put John and Paul in the order that they're listed on this list.
Absolutely not.
Oh, God, no.
Really?
No. Really? Because
I think it's like 3-1. I don't know.
That's okay. I just think that Paul is a much better vocalist, singer.
Oh, sorry. Okay, then I agree with you. Is Paul above John?
No,
John is way up high.
That's what I meant. Okay, yes. No, then I do agree with you. Okay.
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 Oh, okay. I mean, then, hey, we're unanimous.
if John's so high because of his songwriting ability, then candidly, yeah. that is not what the spirit of having a singer's list as right. opposed to a songwriter's list is about. Right. Mm-hmm. So if that's their justification, frankly, yeah. fuck off.
And
I'm saying that a lot.
You and have. Honestly, you know, McCartney had a career that's way longer than Lennon's. Sorry. It's not John Lennon's fault.
That's
not
true, John Lennon's fault. That's not Lennon's fault.
But McCartney has done some interesting things. He's written a musical. He's done some collaborations, be they what they are. You know, he was in a completely separate band in the Beatles that made it and was great. And he's had this huge catalog of music. And he started a university for music school, music students. You know, I mean, it's kind of hard not to put him up higher.
Are you implying, Rob, that the Plastic Ono Band isn't a real band?
I would argue that the Plastic Ono Band are indeed a band, but they are not Wings.
I would agree. I'm just pulling your leg.
There you go. Definitively stated. Right.
And what about the Gibb brothers?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
None good
them,
point.
Not a single one of them.
Are yeah. Super and good point.
Is am I right that I saw Lauryn Hill on here?
Yes. Yes, she did. Yes. 136.
I mean, I'm sorry. You got to show up to your gigs. It's a... same thing as Morrison,
right.
you know.
You got to make more than one album.
Same deal with Axl Rose if we're talking about showing up to gigs.
And right. Lauryn Hill is kind of one of those artists that straddles hip hop and soul, and I get it, but she's had one album that she's been living off of for 30 yeah. fucking years. Mm. And it's like, come on. Nat King Cole had a better career than you did. Natalie okay, Cole so, had a better career than you did.
Right. Right.
Amy Grant had a better career. Nancy Griffith. I mean, I can name off, you know, hundreds of people that are more deserving.
Right. So if they left out opera, they didn't say that they left off contemporary Christian. Mm-hmm. Amy could arguably maybe be on the list. I mean, she's had a long career. Mm-hmm. She's a great singer. She's a good songwriter. She's had a lot of influence. So, you know,
so huge crossover support. And yeah. she's written a lot of songs for other people.
Yeah.
You know.
Who's Karen O at 184?
From the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay.
Which I, as much as I love the Yeah, 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 it's too new.
I agree.
They've been around for over 20 years, though.
Yeah.
I remember
I'm fired.
2000, 2001.
Get out. And, you know, she does really show her voice on a song like yeah. Maps. I mean, yeah. she's a well, good her, vocalist. I would solo, say she... She's one who just scrapes into it for me. Based
well,
on
her
Tanya.
Solo her solo stuff is really, really daring too, and I get that. So I don't have a problem with her being on it. I mean, I'm glad that she's on it, but I would put her up higher than Courtney Love.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean,
I'd put Lana Del Rey higher than Courtney Love. Although, you know, I don't even.
I wouldn't
know
put Lana on the list.
I was going to just say, although I don't know if she should even be on the list.
I love
maybe I don't know.
I love Lana. That first album is a real mood for me. And I would also, I mean, for me, she fits the 20-year rule as to why she shouldn't be on the list. But even regardless of that, I would say she probably shouldn't be on the list.
What do we do with someone like June Carter?
Oh, she should be on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we feel that about Lou Reed being on the list?
Well, and they
I think Lou Reed is on it, but I don't necessarily think he's super high. No, I mean, I would put him on it, but I wouldn't put him, you know, super high, you know. I think.
See, to me, I wouldn't put him on. I mean, no, and I fucking love him, but I don't think he basically talks through his music. If you're talking about,
why not put Fred Schneider on the list?
Well, yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I just wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, he definitely has a unique delivery.
And it's weird that like he's on it, but like Tom Waits isn't. And like Cohen is, who does it most of the time, sort of talks his way through a record.
Again, it's just so broad, the criteria, and there's just not. And I really would love to know who voted for the ages and the, I don't know.
In all honesty, I'm going to stand by what I said earlier. For me, Lou Reed would not make it on this list for exactly the same reason that I think the majority of hip-hop artists would not make it on this list.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's influential.
I kind of feel like My top five would be like Linda Ronstadt, Elvis Presley. Those might be, I don't know how I would interchange them because they're, or order them because it's too hard to. Aretha would be, and she is up there. I would have probably Celine Dion and, did I say Whitney?
No, you did not.
Okay.
Okay. So me. Elvis is number 17 on the Rolling Stone list.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. I mean, I'm not an Elvis fan, but it's crazy that he would be that. I'm going to say that low on the list.
Yeah. I'm a huge Elvis fan. And I think it's like, if you just hear him sing, If I Couldn't Dream, you wouldn't. Yeah. Nobody would have him at number 17. So maybe this order again is just another. You're right, Rob. They shouldn't have even ordered it.
That's why I threw the out, because it was just like, okay, if I specify in the order, I'm going to lose my way in like who's on and who's off the list.
Right? Yeah, they should have just done it alphabetically.
Yeah, no, right.
Or they should have just not done it at all, actually.
No, look how much press they've gotten over this. Look,
I know,
many,
then we
like,
wouldn't have a show.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. When I've talked about this to people that we were doing this for a topic, right? I would say, well, at least they're getting attention off of this. But the common answer out of like seven out of the maybe eight or nine people I've talked to this about is, that's all right. I haven't read Rolling Stone in years anyway. Mm. This is not going to make anyone go back and read Rolling Stone.
And that's the question I was going to ask. Steph summed it up perfectly when she said, we clicked the clickbait.
Yes.
Yes.
So the question is, did they do this list and order this list in this way with the intent of being controversial and drumming up conversation and drumming up clicks to their website, which they are going to make advertising revenue off of?
Exactly.
That cheapens the artistic merit of the magazine. Right. Oh, yeah. But the other thing too is, yeah, I get it. I get why you're doing the clickbait and everything. Right. But there's not really a way they can make this list without pissing anybody off. It's an impossible situation. So why are you even trying?
Right.
And, well, candidly, I think what they should have done was a series of top 10 lists, top 10 metal singers, top 10 R&B singers, you know, enter genre here, top 10. Mm-hmm. Or even 20 of those.
Or even singers you've never heard of or singers you may have forgotten, you know, things like that. You know, I mean, when I was looking at the list and going over, I had no idea until a friend of mine brought it up how many albums Judy Garland had sold and how big of a deal she was in the 40s and 50s. Another friend brought up Doris Day. It's like for like a 7 to 10 year run, Doris Day was like the biggest pop singer on the, you know, in the, I'm like, oh, okay.
Right? And then if you're talking about that, look, what about the Andrews Sisters and all that, you know,
but it's hard to pick out just one though for the list.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you just put them all, like you would say the Bee Gees, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Omitting either of the Bee Gees, though, to me is a big deal because I think that just the legacy of them, one, collectively, and two, each individual Bee Gee has their own sort of musical legacy of things they did outside of the band that really kind of weird to overlook and not pay attention to.
Someone just came to me, Olivia Newton-John. Is she on here?
She is not.
Weird.
I would ask, when looking at this, I would ask the question, when was Rolling Stone last relevant?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Rolling Stone is relevant now for talking about social issues of, you know, social issues that are important. They haven't been musically relative, I think, since Cobain died.
And to your point, Rob, social issues and posting false stories about gang rapes on campuses and ivermectin. So,
well, I was being nice.
You were, but I don't think they're a credible source, candidly. And to me, I stand by it. I think this was clickbait. I think this was deliberately written to be controversial, to drive clicks to their website, and to make a few bucks off of advertising revenue.
And I also, I think it's clearly advertising driven, but I also think, too, the sort of like quasi-superiority complex they have in making this list is kind of offensive.
Or you can just look at it that's a lighthearted list and people had fun making it up. I don't know. I'm not trying to defend them. But then say that.
I would just say, here's a list of 200 people. Let the fighting begin. Yeah. And that would be much more. But don't make this list with stupid ignoramus people on it.
This is the definitive list from God.
You know, it's right. Like they assume that, oh, it's Rolling Stone. It's like it's like a papal decree or something. It's like, No, this is funny. This is not the Treaty of Ghent. It's a stupid list of like 200 people that you think are important, right? And we're fighting about it because that's how we are.
We're doing it because hopefully we'll get more clicks. We're also doing it because we're very passionate about music. Agreed.
I don't think these people, just looking at the list, I don't feel the passion to it, right? Like I would love to see, and with 200 it's too hard to do, but I'd like to see like maybe some qualifiers. If we put this person on because here's what we were thinking, I'd be much more interested in having that get fleshed out somewhere.
I mean, they did a little paragraphs under each person, but I don't think it really didn't have the space.
That's what the interns wrote.
Basic descriptions of who each person was, not why they were on the list necessarily.
Yeah,
not like what the criteria was for including them.
Yeah.
Well, that was a fun discussion. Before I wrap it, does anybody want to add anything to it?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
This is bullshit.
I don't think we had picked up on that before now, so I'm glad you stated it.
We're here to help.
I mean, to be fair, there are some really good writers at Rolling Stone, like Rob Sheffield and stuff, that do write some interesting stuff. But as a complete magazine, it's just... You know,
it's bullshit. It's
there you go. All right. So we're going to take a quick 30-second break and we will be right back to wrap up the show. See you in a few.
You know what? Now is a great time for
a promo for Soulforge Podcast.
We talk about love,
loss,
tattoos,
sex,
dating,
stupid things we do for love,
pop culture,
mental health.
We've had author interviews,
adventures,
and shenanigans.
What?
Soulforge Podcast.
Where?
We're everywhere.
Soulforge Podcast. Subscribe today.
Forge your soul.
All right, we're back. So let's talk about what we've been listening to this week. I assume we've been listening to some of the people on this list, but who else has been on your turntable, or what else have you been reading this week? Rob, go.
So I want to start with Panopticon, the brand new single from Peter Gabriel.
It's going to be mine, too.
Man, it's like a breath of fresh air. Open up the new year and give me something great, right? I love it. It's great. I like how it sounds. I heard it in pieces. Like I've heard, at first I've heard like, you know, oh, this is 20th thing. And by the time I heard it all the way through, I appreciated it even more because it was in little pieces before, and it made me sort of want to hear it more. It stuck in my head. It is an earworm, as they say. And it's great to have him back and making records. The other record I've been listening to a lot is Every Loser, the new record by Iggy Pop, which is, I think, the much
that was going to be most, my other one.
I'm sorry. It's so interesting and it's so profound. Yeah. And he's doing some interesting things with his voice on it.
Agreed.
That I love it, and I he's just an artist I think that a lot of people just sort of dismiss as, oh, he's the punk guy that hung out with Bowie, and he's so much more, right? The other thing, musically, and then I got a couple books, but Inside Out, 1985 to 1990, the new box set from the Mighty Lemon Drops. It's their first three albums and then a couple live sessions, including their live recording of Painted Black, which is surprisingly really good, and some stuff from their first EP and some extra recording session stuff on there. It's a pretty solid little box set. Stuff from a band that kind of got lost in the shuffle of the late 80s. They were fantastic. Two books, real quickly. The day that we're recording this is the birthday of both Elvis and David Bowie. Yeah. And I tend to revisit a Bowie book every week of this time period every year. And this year I reread The Man Who Sold the World, David Bowie in the 70s by Peter Doggett. because I just wanted to learn more about Bowie in the time when I wasn't really alive to hear him in real time. And it's just really good. It really sums up Bowie in relation to the times that he was making music in the 70s and why it sounded the way it did and who was influenced. It's fantastic. And then the other book is Last Train to Memphis, which is probably the best book about Elvis ever written. By Peter Guralnick. It's, if you want to read one book about Elvis, that's the one to read. And it's pretty great.
All right. I'm going to go next since Rob took the two songs.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
Hey, no, that. I just feel bad now.
Well, stop. Okay. Don't do that.
Okay.
I'm going to say I didn't take to the Peter Gabriel song as much as you two did. I don't know. It just didn't grab me. But I'm going to keep listening to it and I'm going to like it. You know, I think it has to percolate a little bit. I just finished reading Nothing But a Good Time, which was a book about the 80s hair metal scene. Woo-hoo. And I loved it. And spoiler alert, we're going to be interviewing the authors of that coming up in a month or so. So I can't wait to talk to them about that.
All right. Well, I've also been doing my homework. I'm about 200 pages into Nothing But a Good Time.
Yes.
So
awesome.
Getting through it, really enjoying it. It's written in a really interesting way.
So yes. I'm
really, really looking forward to discussing that with the authors. Unfortunately, Rob stole the only thing I've been listening to solidly for the last 3 weeks. No, I'm joking. I've been listening to other stuff. I just wanted to make Rob feel a little bad. But no, I've been really enjoying Panopticon as well. Phenomenal track. Hmm. It's refreshing to have something new with Peter Gabriel.
That is
and
true.
To finally get Io, his new album, which has been in production for 21 years.
Yeah.
That puts Guns N' Roses to shame.
Shit.
And then beyond that, I've been listening to not some new releases, but some other things. Architects, their album from last year, name of which I've already forgotten. The Classic Symptoms of a Broken Spirit.
Mm.
They're an interesting band. They seem to be the trendsetters in modern metal.
Interesting. And
they're playing like 7-8 string guitars and doing the whole djenty thing. But they're an interesting band. They seem to be the ones who are originating that stuff. I tried giving Lorna Shore a listen. They're apparently going to be the next big thing. I even sent one of their tracks to this entire podcast, and I think everyone went, "What the hell?" Which was more or less my reaction. I had to listen to it, so you guys did too. Do not recommend.
Nice.
I will pass on that going forward. And then last but not least, Alan, I'm not sure if you mentioned it last time you recorded, but Alan and I got together and watched the Ronnie James Dio documentary, which we might do a little bonus episode on at some point. We'll see. We'll see how we feel about that. But I've been listening to a lot of Dio nonstop, which is why I'm still angry about his relatively low placement on the rock and roll. On the Rolling Stone list.
Right.
But man, he was good. Just everything he ever did, whether it was Rainbow Sabbath or his solo career. But I was giving his first solo album, Holy Diver, a spin. And there are tracks on there that I had forgotten how good they were, because I always think of the title track and I always think of Stand Up and Shout and Straight Through the Heart and Rainbow in the Dark. And then I suddenly think of Don't Talk to Strangers. And that, I was listening, I went, oh my God, I had forgotten how utterly fucking mind-blowing that song is.
Yeah.
So lots of Dio, and that's my lot. So I'll throw it over to Steph.
All right, Steph.
Okay, well, you know, of course, I'm listening to old stuff. But actually, it was a new thing of an old artist. Since we got Disney Plus, Bob and I decided to watch the Elton John Dodger Stadium show.
Yes.
And I know you had talked about that in another episode, Alan. And so we were curious. And, you know, for purely sentimental reasons and just, you know, almost like it was so emotional just because it was it's the end of his touring career. And it's just, I can't believe so much time has passed. I didn't think his voice sounded good. There were times when it did. It was weird. As he got warmed up, definitely there was, you know, things that were cool. I really get pissed off when he doesn't sing the melodies of his songs, because even he just goes shouting stuff randomly lately. And I just think if he sang to the simple melody, even though his voice is struggling, it would be a better situation. Mm-hmm. But whatever, he could do whatever the hell he wants. He's Elton John and he's amazing. And it was very emotional. And I still think it was totally worth watching. And also the band just kicked ass as they yes. always do.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah. So that's my thing.
All right. Okay. Join us again next week when we will be joined once again by Stephanie's husband, Bob Perry. And we are going to be talking about the Beatles' solo careers. So that's going to be a fun discussion. Hope you join us for that. How about everybody tell where listeners can find more of your sultry voice? You all are one of the top 200 voices in podcasting. So assuming that people want to hear more of your lovely voices, where might they seek you out? Steph?
You can find me at my website, thereareBirds.com. You can find me on Facebook at Stephanie Seymour Music, at Instagram, which is there_are_birds, and Bandcamp, of course, under my name, and then all the streaming platforms everywhere.
All right, Anthony.
So I only make myself a good podcaster by surrounding myself with people whose accents are not the same as mine. Otherwise, I'm pretty plain around other Brits. But anyway, if you want to listen to me, you can hear me on Watchers in the Fourth Dimension, a Doctor Who podcast, which I do with three Americans, where we are watching our way through the entirety of Doctor Who from 1963 until now. We are currently in season 13, which is Tom Baker's second season. And somewhat mixed results, which is heresy to some because that's exactly. a classic season. But as always, you can find us in all of the usual places, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah. And probably wherever you're listening to this one. And then on top of that, you can follow us on our socials at Watchers4D, Facebook, Instagram, and still somehow Twitter. Apparently that's still around. And if you want to follow me personally, you can find me on Instagram at Englishman in ATL.
Nice. Robert?
You can find me on the radio on KDHX on Wednesdays from 7 to 9 Central Time. If you are busy and have a life and do things, you can listen to the archive stream for 2 weeks at KDHX.org. And the playlists are always up, so you can look it over beforehand to see if this is your cup of tea or not. And also you can find me on the Weekend Justice podcast as well, and under my name on Facebook, the Twitter, and on Post.
Awesome. All right.
Where can we find you, Alan?
Ooh, well, you could go to cosmicpress.com, KOZMICpress.com, and that will lead you to Worlds of Discovery.
A lot of podcasts going on.
A lot of books and stuff too. And so let's do that. All right. So we will see everyone again next week. Thank you for joining us. Hope you had a great time. Let us know what you think of our discussion and of the Rolling Stone list. We look forward to getting your feedback. You can email us at modernmusicology1@gmail.com or just leave a comment on our Facebook group or wherever you're listening to this episode. And don't forget to rate wherever you find podcasts on your favorite platform. We'll see you again next week. Take care and keep rocking.